Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have a very special guest in studio today, Pam Hedgepeth. She is the Executive Director of the Greater Ozarks Cooperating School Districts. And kind of our topic for today to kind of set the stage is we're going to call it real world learning and sort of the future look of education, what that might look like. So thank you for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, welcome, Pam.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here. Thanks, ladies.
Yes. So just tell us, give our listeners a little bit about your background. Some of them will recognize your name because you were a superintendent in the area. And so talk about your background and how you got to where you are.
Okay. Well, as you can tell, I've been around a while as far as in education. This is my 44th year in education.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
I have a passion for education and did most of my initial work in education in K-12. So right. I ended up most of my career in Republic.
Okay.
I was a teacher, second grade teacher, and then became a principal. Best job ever.
Really?
Yes, love being a principal. Just the impact with kids each day. It was just the best job. Mm-hmm. And then became assistant superintendent, like kind of over everything, like operations, buses, those things, and then curriculum instruction as well, which was really kind of my favorite thing when it came to education, just thinking about that curriculum side and instructional practices that could really bring learning alive. And then became the superintendent. And so I did that for 6 years, retired, went to SBU and was a professor there and designed their leadership development program, so a doctorate program. So that was really fun work.
Fun.
In fact, I did that for 13 years, and I have a lot of students now that are superintendents and principals working out in schools, so that's real fun to watch them. So that experience and then some work I did at the national level and working with districts across the nation kind of set me up to be a really good candidate for this job I'm in now. So Greater Cooperating School Districts, we have in the Ozarks, we have around 100 school districts. We represent about 270,000 kids, which is just amazing. And all sizes of kids and districts. We have K-12 perspective, but we have districts that have as few as 50 kids. And then, of course, we represent Springfield. And they have, you know, over 20,000 students. And so the work that we do in GoCSD is so much wrapped around professional learning, like really building teachers' capacities and leaders' capacity to reach every child. We also advocate for education, and public education in particular, and just lift up the great stories of individual teachers and districts and all the great work they do with kids. And then we also do this work around meaningful partnerships. And so that's the work that connects with like a state initiative called the Success Ready Student Network, where we're trying to be really intentional in engaging our business partners and industry partners and helping us to reimagine and rethink education so that every single child has what we call a real-world learning experience. So that's a long story, but it kind of gets to what I think our conversation is today.
So When you got into this, so how long have you been in this position? Let's start there.
This is my third year. I finished 3 years, so starting 4 years.
All right. And you are in charge of, we're going to call it Southern Missouri, right? It's not just Southwest Missouri. Your area, if you will, is Southern Missouri.
Yeah, we expand really all the way from Joplin to the Boot Hill. So we have districts all across that region. And then another role I kind of have as well that I wear is called the facilitator for the Success Ready Student Network, which is really a statewide initiative. And so the work we're doing with real world learning in our region actually is a result of this state effort. And this state effort was actually originated by our State Department of Education. They said, you know what, we would like for folks in our state to investigate this notion of personalized learning or personalized competency-based learning. So they put together this task force of business leaders and educators and even students, mm-hmm. parents, yeah. and looked at what could we do differently with our educational system. And so from that work was born the Success Ready Students Network.
Okay.
And what's really interesting about it, it was kind of a DESE estate initiative, but it's actually authentically being facilitated and grown and ideized by school districts. So the field, mm-hmm. educators are doing yeah. the work in partnership with the State Department. So it's kind of a unique caveat that we don't usually see mm-hmm. in this kind of a environment.
Right. So why would a school, and who goes out and gets the schools? So do schools know about this and they come to you, or is it vice versa?
You know what? That's the best part. They opt in, right? So they okay. join if they want to.
Okay.
Okay. So that's been the purview the whole time, is that we plant seeds, we get districts mm-hmm. that are wanting to be innovative. We call them our innovation schools.
Okay.
And so they want to be out there learning about personalized competency-based learning and real-world learning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got districts that are actually implementing at higher levels that are working, again, with our State Department with what we call a demonstration project waiver. So schools have to be accountable, right?
Sure.
That's a federal and that's a state thing.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Well, these schools have a state waiver that they're actually being able to design a new way to think about accountability for districts. Mm-hmm. And so our schools that we're leading are leading the way for other districts to reimagine what we want to be accountable to. And with that comes a different kind of test as well. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of pieces to this, but so much of it is just about change in practice and instruction and making learning just really inviting and exciting for kids.
Yeah. 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 Helping them develop a skill in an area that they're most interested in, right? So talk about where these school districts are. You have school districts of every size, varying degrees of where they are in the process.
Correct.
So let's talk a little bit about where each one is. Just give an example or whatever of what
okay.
you've got.
So there's actually three different types or three different levels for engaging in the Success Ready Student Network.
Mm-hmm.
And again, GoCSD has a regional support for these districts at the statewide. So the first level is actually just districts just wanting to learn. They just want to tip their toes in and, mm-hmm. and have some professional learning around this. So we all come together once a month, second Wednesday of every month, and we do this virtually. And we have at this point, there's about 60 schools in that zone where they're just coming with us, learning and just figuring out, you know, what is this notion
right.
of
yeah.
personalized competency-based learning? And we have some funding from our State Department and from the Kauffman Foundation to pay for national experts to come in.
Mm.
And so we do a lot of, like, bringing in experts, planting seeds, helping schools reimagine what this learning process could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have around 60 that fall at that category. And then joining them each month, we also have two more groups called our Systems Design Zone cohort. And there's a cohort one and a cohort two. And these are districts that are a little farther along in this work.
Okay.
And they're actually the ones that are reimagining this new system, mm-hmm. this new assessment and accountability system,
mm-hmm.
and are paving the way and piloting some new ideas about what this practice could look like.
Mm-hmm. And Ozark might be an example of that, right?
Exactly.
We're going to have Lori Wilson on next week, I believe, and we're going to talk to her specifically about what they have implemented there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not happened overnight. It's been a gradual. She talks about how it happened prior to her becoming superintendent. But are they working towards the ultimate?
Well, they are just ready to join the work at this time.
Okay.
You know, it takes a lot to get your community ready,
mm-hmm.
to get your teachers ready. So we have a lot of districts in our region. We have some really great districts in mm-hmm. Southwest Missouri doing very similar things to Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
They just maybe haven't you know, been in a position to join like the innovation zone, but yet they really have some really great practices. Another SDZ district, which Ozark is one, Lebanon, was willing to join early on, as was Branson. Neosho is close by. Shell Knob, which is a K-8 district. And it's just, we just love to show our K-8 small rural district, this work is for you too. There's 400 school districts in our state that are small rural districts. And so you just think about the possibility with that region. Being a farm girl, I love seeing those small rural schools engaged in that. And then we also have in our cohort 2, Cassville has joined, as well as Taneyville. So those are the districts right in our region. But I mentioned the ILDZ districts, the ones that come and learn with us each month. Well, you've got Nixa, you've got Republic, you've got Rogersville, just Ava, just there's several in our region, Pleasant Hope, you know, just so many, Plato, lots of smaller schools that are engaged in that group as well.
You talked about you have to have the community on board. It takes a while just to, so what is involved in them getting people on board, and what kind of conversations are they having to have in their communities in order to get established?
Well, for one thing, we are so used to the MAP test, the Missouri Assessment Program, that one test, you know, that we just hang so much emphasis on around how a school is doing, which in reality, it doesn't really give the best picture. It's just a snapshot of how a school is really doing. And so a lot of districts have started moving that way, where they have begun to share with their districts their interim assessment scores. And so what that means is a lot of times districts will have an additional assessment, a test that they give throughout the year that's a benchmark. We call it an interim assessment. And it's just a little dipstick each year, about three times a year, where kids are. And so we've actually convinced the State Department to let us use those assessment pieces versus the MAP test as a part of this state accountability piece. So a lot of districts have already been sharing that data with their districts, with their communities, with their school boards, with their teachers. And that's really the most important thing in their districts versus the MAP test. So districts that have been doing that are, you know, really ready to engage in this work. And then also a lot of districts have been moving towards this personalized approach for several years. In other words, like trying to find kids' passion. Like you mentioned Ozark, they've got their innovation center, which, you know, has several different pathways that kids can explore to find their interest and to find their passions. And so our hope is that that's one way that kids can get those different experiences. But there's also like programs like GoCaps and then just things we can do in the regular classrooms where every kid gets that kind of an experience. So it's a different kind of system. And before you, you know, if you're a brand new superintendent, you don't want to just start, you know, with something so new and so different. It takes time. You got to build that trust and and build some capacity around, you know, getting your teachers excited about it, because they're the best ambassadors. If we're going to do this, then they have to help us, you know, get the word out kind of what it is and why we would want to do it.
Is it appropriate to ask what is the biggest difference between this mindset and curriculum versus the old way? Or you know, that's kind of in my mind how I'm looking at it. Like there's an old way that we used to think and teach and do things. And so is that an appropriate question?
Oh, it's the perfect question.
Okay, because that's where my brain's going.
And that's the system we know, that traditional system where the teacher provides lots of direct instruction, kind of the expert on the knowledge, right? And to be honest, that's direct instruction, and that still has its place.
For sure.
You know, there times where you just need some direct instruction, where a student needs direct instruction, or they need to read a particular piece of background information to have that background knowledge to do, you know, more fabulous things with that learning. But that's knowledge, right? And we have to have knowledge, and there's lots of ways to get that, right? The other piece to our work is that kids also need skills and dispositions. So we call that the durable skills. And if you just do that in the traditional, the teaching in the traditional way, oftentimes there's not projects, there's not opportunities for kids to do the application,
right?
Which gets at the durable skills and the dispositions. So, you know, that's the biggest difference. Probably if you were in a classroom that really focused on real-world learning, here's what it'd look like. You'd see kids really engaged and having conversations around a real problem. Probably a problem that was maybe brought to them by a business partner, like something they were dealing with.
Got it.
Could even be the school. Like a school can be the client, right?
Sure.
And maybe they're wanting to do some kind of a new renovation in one of their buildings, and they'd really like to get the student voice anyway.
Right.
And so they would put, you know, opportunities out for kids to really think about that problem. And then you've got this really masterful teacher who is partnering with that business industry partner to figure out what this learning experience can look like, all while they're tapping those Missouri learning standards. Because we still have high expectations
of course.
For kids.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the reading, the writing, mathematical things that are, we got to have high levels of performance.
Right.
So that masterful teacher knows how to tie those to these projects and these problems. So the teacher partnering with a business or industry person oftentimes in these settings, they're facilitating learning. And the other piece is that kids have a lot of choice about what they want to learn about. And so they get to fulfill their passions. Like they get to help guide, you know, what and how they want to learn more about. But at the same time, with our new assessment system, the kids know where their gaps are.
Yeah,
they can see in their assessment, I got to work on this particular standard.
Right.
And so I need my project to really be based on that standard that I'm working on. It's amazing when you visit schools that do this work.
Yes.
The kids can tell you right where they are on their learning and what they're working on and what they need to work on.
And it really, you know, I'm visualizing your story here, right, of children maybe understanding learning in a better way, in a real world way, where they can actually apply that to real world experiences. Rather than the old school, how we all grew up with our math book and our science book and our social studies book. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which empowers them to have self-confidence and to problem solve and to... I am so in line with this thinking, Pam.
Can you tell?
It is like the best... It gets me excited. I'm not an educator.
The best thing since sliced bread. And teachers are empowered too.
Yes.
Right? They don't have to necessarily follow a pacing guide that we all had to be on this page at this time and we got to do this lesson.
Right.
They are about helping kids see where they are, you know, with their own learning and then jointly designing with students like next steps of learning, the learning experiences.
Yeah.
And teachers love that. They're good at it.
Yes.
And everybody should be excited about that, right? If you look at what, if you took a poll of today's business owners and they would say, you ask them, what's your most critical problem? What problem needs to be solved? A lot of them would say skilled workforce. So it addresses what's better for the student, but it also addresses what's better for our communities and for the business people out there who are looking for a skilled workforce that don't necessarily need someone with a four-year education, a four-year college degree, and it gives them an opportunity to learn before they make those mistakes. We all know when we went to college, somebody said, what do you want your major to be? And most of us said something that was right in front of us, teacher, you know, whatever. We've got those traditional roles that we think of when we think about my education and what I want to do with my life. Very few say I want to be an electrical engineer or I want to be an astronaut, whatever. You know, it opens their minds to what the possibilities are, and it helps our community so much because we're now creating a workforce that knows more what they want to do, that is already skilled in some way to help further us.
Exactly. And we can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. Educators can't do this work alone. We have to have our business and industry community very much engaged in the work. Mm-hmm. And so we're leading some efforts, and that's probably more of a GoCSD thing. And mm-hmm. Angie, you were a part of that conversation.
Yeah,
we are bringing together a group of business and industry leaders along with educators to imagine, to ideate, how do we in Southwest Missouri and then eventually Southeast Missouri create a real-world learning ecosystem mm-hmm. that allows every student to have these kinds of experiences.
Right.
Because the schools can provide some of these experiences, but really the workforce, like you said, mm-hmm. should see the benefits as well.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you're doing a project with a group of students, which is the Client Connected Project, you get to connect with students mm-hmm, as a business mm-hmm. owner and kind of mm-hmm. see where their thinking is and mm-hmm. influence them, you know, to maybe consider some careers mm-hmm. in the pathway that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't go on and mention, so we talk about real-world learning and it being something for all kids, and we talked about the Client Connected Projects and the problem-based learning. But this also does include things like internships.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are that's a continuum of higher level experiences,
mm-hmm. right.
apprenticeships,
mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurships. Mm-hmm. Those are all a part of this, as well as kids that are doing dual credit.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
that counts
yes.
as a market value asset or a real world learning experience
right.
as well.
Okay.
And there's also like IRCs, industry recognized credentials that are a part of this as well. So mm-hmm. we're not trying to reinvent those things that are already out there.
Right.
We're just trying to build on what we're already
right.
doing.
Mm-hmm. So the one of the dreams, one of the goals is to have every student graduate with a market value asset. Did I call it the right
you
thing?
You said it right.
Market value asset.
Yeah.
So we want every student to have that. So talk specifically, what is the definition of a market value asset?
Well, it is what I would call just a cornerstone experience that kids have at some point in their schooling, mm-hmm. usually the 11th and 12th grade, but it could be at 10th grade. I'm even saying 8th graders get
sure.
to have these experiences,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they are truly immersed. That's kind of the key word in mm-hmm. the problem and the industry. Mm-hmm. Like they really are understanding what that career or what that career pathway is all about and having firsthand experience
mm-hmm.
and opportunity to get a feel for what it's like to be in that industry or that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They may find out they don't like it too. You know,
that's
and that's
exactly
okay.
Right.
That's
sure.
right. That's fine.
That's half the battle right
yeah.
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the key is there is a project. There's usually some kind of a cornerstone project that they do at the end, and it's a portfolio that they collect mm-hmm. in conjunction with their teacher and with an industry partner that shows a body of work that they've accomplished, that they've earned this market value asset.
Got it.
And the kiddos then walk away with those durable skills you were just talking
mm-hmm.
about. You know,
mm-hmm.
They can show that they're problem solvers, mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. are good communicators, typically
mm-hmm.
they're a team player,
mm-hmm.
They're a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think of all the things that they gain in those projects
yeah.
mm-hmm.
in an authentic workspace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the market value asset also incorporates, like I said, dual credit
mm-hmm.
can be counted, as well as IRCs and then the work experiences that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So what is your feedback you're getting from educators, teachers, and also the community?
So, again, the way that we're doing this is really how I think you bring forth meaningful change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are opting in. You know,
mm-hmm.
districts are seeing the value of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers and leaders are seeing the value of the work,
mm-hmm.
so they're opting in. Nobody
yeah.
is forcing their hand.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think success breeds success.
Mm-hmm.
So you have districts doing really good work,
mm-hmm.
and then other districts are like, oh, they got something kind of special going
uh-huh.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
We better go see what uh-huh. that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so GoCSD actually kind of harnesses that. We provide field trips. We've done some across the nation, and now we're doing some in our state where we take our leaders and teachers to go see this work in action.
Mm-hmm.
So we plant seeds and let
yeah.
them see what
mm-hmm.
it looks like, because it's
yep.
kind of scary, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the pushback, I mean, there's lots of questions, but for the most part, districts that are engaged mm-hmm. are really inspired and really excited mm-hmm. about yeah. it. And teachers yep. that really have been trained well and understand the work, it has really given them new meaning. It's yeah. it's really heartfelt to hear teachers that understand the why and really get to do this work in a deep level. It's just really inspiring. They've regained their passion for yeah. being yeah. an educator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a whole new way, kind of.
In a whole new way.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you sort of have, so the Kauffman Foundation, this work is being done in the Kansas City area. Yes. When I was at the meeting, there was a presenter there from the Kauffman Foundation, talked about great strides, and I don't know what their length of time in practice is at this point. I think he said, but I don't remember. But it was amazing. It was the numbers he was showing, his whole presentation was inspiring to me. So can you talk a little bit about how this has been created, sort of use that as a model, essentially?
Right. So who you got to hear share was Dr. Bill Nicely, and he is the educator in resident with the Kauffman Foundation, but he's actually a superintendent. He was mm-hmm. a superintendent in Kearney for many years and did this work at Kearney. Mm. And so what is really interesting about the Kauffman work is it's an organic movement, and really Kauffman kind of stays in the background, and they mm-hmm. let the educators lead the work and the business community. So there was a lady named Laura Evans who actually came and spoke to one of our GoCSD membership meetings. She was in charge of HR at Cerner. And so mm-hmm. she said something to the effect, we have got to be more intentional in how, you know, we're recruiting folks to be in, you know, in our career pathways. And we really just need to do more partnering, like with high schools, you know, because it's kind of too late, you know, mm-hmm. after right. they get out of high school
yeah.
to
right.
get
yeah.
kids really thinking about like these work skills. Mm-hmm. And so she was very instrumental and very inspiring in getting the work started mm-hmm. in the Kansas City area, along with Donna. Can't think of Donna's last name, but she actually started the Northland GoCaps. Mm-hmm. And so she's actually kind of one of the key founders of GoCaps.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like GoCaps on steroids. Mm-hmm. And so they took those ideas, you know, the GoCaps and then the business partner and how we need to get these things meshed together. And Kauffman just kind of took that work and ran with it. And they started with like one cohort of districts, and now I believe they have five. And the growth that they've made, I believe it's 3 or 4 years of the number of students that now have a market value asset is mm-hmm. it's just amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're a really good model for us. Of course, Casey's different, sure. you know, sure. than Southwest Missouri.
Yeah.
But a lot of the systems they have in place, unrelated to Kauffman,
yeah.
actually would work, I think, in our region as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are there any great obstacles in front of you? What would those be?
Well, it's always bandwidth and time,
sure.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's mm-hmm. Teachers and leaders that have so much on their plate.
Yeah.
So elevating this to being a priority for districts, you mm-hmm. know, they have to really see the urgency,
yeah.
you know. Mm-hmm. Kids are coming to us so different. You know, we just saw some great research about kids at the middle school level and high school as well, and how different they are, mm-hmm. you know, as far as their social skills. Like
mm-hmm.
kids graduating from high school, a lot of them haven't ever been on a date.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't even have their driver's license.
Yeah.
You know, they just have a different mindset
yeah. Yeah.
about
yes.
socialization.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the kids are different.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
we really have to think differently about, you know, the educational process. So just helping to create urgency around that just have to keep telling people
yeah.
about it.
Yep.
And we have, like I said, over 100 districts down here, and it's just kind of one district at a time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You got to bring them on, you know, and help
yep.
them to see the value in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I think we'll get a momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we can get our business partners excited mm-hmm. and we get our educators excited, it just seems like it'll be a snowball movement that's very organic that will be really powerful for kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that was mentioned when I was there the other day was about the age of children that we need to be addressing. So right now, a lot of it is at the high school level, but, and you mentioned middle school, And I wrote down the statistic. I don't have it here, but somebody mentioned if we're not reaching kids by the time they're 8, we may have already missed the boat. So,
yeah, you know, lots of experiences have occurred for a student by the time they're 7 and 8 years old, you know, and you think about neurology and how the brain is developing. Yep. And so kids need experiences. That helps them with language development and just, you know, just helping them to, you know, really grow both, you know, socially and emotionally, but also like cognitively as well. Mm-hmm. So they need those experiences, right?
Yes.
So we really promote the idea this is not just a high school thing. Mm-hmm. It's very much needing to occur like in elementary, middle school, and high school as well. And so this is kind of the sequence to that. Like all kids need real world experiences. Mm-hmm. So that really needs to be an emphasis of authentic learning all the way down to kindergarten. And then we move to those real world learning experiences becoming market value assets, like 8th grade, 9th grade, all the way up through high school, really with 11th and 12th grade focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much opportunity with this, and us having toured Ozark's facility, it really impresses upon me the future of our children is really, really bright, and that not all of them, as we know, not all of them are made to go to 4 years of college. Mm-hmm. And to be able to explore interests and passions and be able to work a little differently than just in your workbook or in your textbook when you're in 6th, 7th, 8th grade and on, it's really exciting as a parent, you know.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
It's exciting as anybody.
Yeah.
I remember both of us walking out of Ozark going, we want to go back to school.
Yeah.
If it had been
where
like
was this,
this
when we were in school?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, how exciting is that? And to be able to, we watched kids sit around and I'm going to use your word ideate again because I love that word, but they got to problem solve together. It helps with them understanding how to work in the workforce with other individuals on a team. You know, it used to be the only time you could get that experience is if you were on a sports team or in band or something.
Exactly.
Now you're bringing that to every aspect of to the classroom. Yeah.
Exactly. And extracurricular activities are so important. Mm-hmm. So this does not take away from that in any way. And in fact, you know, some of the best early programs around this line of thinking were the CTE programs, the career technical education.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
think about if you know were involved in an ag program or FFA or a business kind of experience. Those elements actually got this early. And it's funny, I was just speaking at a conference for CTE leaders in the state on this, and they even said that we need to go back to thinking like we did like 20 years ago about what kids need and how we track their learning and how we keep track of competencies that they have and don't have. There's some good things about the past that we're not throwing out. We're actually going back to and reconnecting with. You know, you mentioned Ozark, and I just said CTE programs. I am really proud of Repel. Of course, I was superintendent there.
Yeah,
and we, when I was superintendent, we purchased land for a new high school, and I got to help design that building. But one of the reasons we chose that site was because there was a farm there. And so it is worth a visit. What they have for their students around that school-based farm. It's just amazing. They've had some summer internships where kids, you know, city kids that have never experienced farm living and all the things related, all the jobs and careers associated with, you know, agriculture. But I could name several districts around us that are just doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And that builds success, right?
Absolutely.
Success builds success.
And then kids get excited about school. That's, you know, if I go sit in a third level algebra class and I can't figure out how I'm ever going to use this, but I can problem solve with my peers and try to help this business with a problem and it's right in my wheelhouse because I want to go into business or whatever. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what a difference. What a difference.
One thing that I think is really important to point out is our small rural schools. Because they're often overlooked,
forgotten.
You know. Yeah, yet we have 400 districts that fall in that category.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned the Kauffman Group, the Kansas mm-hmm. City Real World Learning Effort. Another group that's doing some excellent work we've connected with is the College Edunation, CEN, and it's in Texas. Mm-hmm. And it's a collaborative of 25 small rural schools mm-hmm. that are creating these real world learning experiences mm-hmm. for all of their kids. They've mm-hmm. created these wonderful partnerships, oftentimes around agriculture. Mm-hmm. Which is meaningful to kids, you know, sure. it's what their passion sure. is. Yeah. But anyway, we've got a group that's going to visit with them in September. We're going on a site visit, and we're going to collaborate with four other states that are interested nice. In doing this kind of work. So we're trying to help Missouri kids, but it's really about helping kids across the country.
For sure.
This is really, I think, a new way that all educators and all communities need to be rethinking their systems.
Absolutely. So is this something independent that is just in Missouri? Obviously, you're talking about Texas and them having their own little brand down there. Is it nationwide right now?
There's pods nationwide
okay.
where this work is happening.
Okay.
In fact, the competency-based learning piece has been around probably for 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so this real-world learning part is just kind of now bubbling up probably the last 5, 6 years.
Okay.
And so there's really good examples across the nation.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
there's not a state that really stands out. Mm-hmm. There's regions.
Sure.
This is kind of regional work.
Yeah, it is.
You know? It,
yeah.
it takes
it's
a convenient
homegrown feeling yeah. almost.
Yeah. And every region has their own kind of context.
That's
and
right.
the things that
yep.
industry
yeah.
that they can connect
sure.
with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Love it. So is there anything, we have listeners out there that are listening across the country and obviously in our own backyard, but is there anything that you need from the community? Is there any plea you would make to our listeners? Something they really need to know or they can help you with?
I should point out we have a really great website, successreadystudentnetwork.org. Okay. Has everything you want to know about this
okay.
work.
Okay.
Good plug.
And so I would say learn about this work.
Mm-hmm.
Like do some research about real world learning and the mm-hmm. power of real world learning. And then I would love for our business partners to just want to reach out and mm-hmm. find out how they might get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the deal. They don't have to start with those client-connected projects. If they would just be willing to visit a first-grade classroom and be a guest speaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even Zoom in and talk mm-hmm. to students.
Yeah.
Just to get in the classrooms, connecting mm-hmm. with students,
yeah.
helping our students learn what it's like to be in the real world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We would take any and all business people that are interested in this work to join us and be
yeah.
a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
And I should say action.
Action.
Conversation
yeah.
is great, but take I'm
a,
about action.
Make a call.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Let's move
send
this.
An email.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's great. Such great information. Thank you
really
so much
is.
For being here.
Oh, absolutely.
And we will certainly put the website in the show notes so that our listeners can find it and
yeah.
connect there. So
yeah. Sounds great.
Thank
okay.
you, Pam.
Thank
great
you.
Great information.
Yes.
We want to thank you for taking the time to learn and listen to us and have the just the notion to grow and mm-hmm. find out something new about our community. So we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us.
Yes, and thank you to Gershman Mortgage for recording, mm-hmm. and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.